All right, take your Bible, John chapter 14. We're going to use our Bibles a little bit tonight. I'm going to borrow a college term. When I was in Bible college, we'll call this spreaching. It's a little bit of preaching, a little bit of teaching. It's a little bit of both tonight, but I want to help you tonight. Preaching a sermon called How I Know That There Is a Heaven. John chapter 14, verse number 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 together. Let's read these responsibly. Ready? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And let me read verse number 10 for you. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight. The next 35 minutes or so, would you please take this and use it and help us tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I have been preaching, it's hard to believe, 38 and a half years. That's a long time. I have preached hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of funerals. And I don't mean this in a rude way, but I know tens of thousands of people that have died, literally. Now, I hate to say it, there's been one week in the last 5 years, where I, 7 day stretch, where I haven't heard of somebody passing away. I deal with death literally every week of my life. But may I say something? I don't get depressed about death. And if you'll let me, I can help you. Don't get me wrong, I miss people. This week will be the, how many years, 18th anniversary of Brother Hiles going to heaven. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was the 18th and 19th anniversary of my grandfather and my grandmother going to heaven. On my dad's side, they died 364 days apart. It just is amazing. I miss people who die. Don't get me wrong, but I don't get depressed about saved people who are gone. You say, why? Because they're not dead. They're alive. They're just in a different place. I know that there is a real place called heaven where every saved person who has ever lived is at, and they're alive today. Now, the Bible is God's words. These are the very words that God had in heaven before the world was created. That's important to understand. And you'll see why in just a moment here, but I need to kind of explain a little bit about God's words before we go any farther. Man had nothing to do with the words of God other than putting it on paper. Matter of fact, God did not give man the thoughts and say, put it into your words. God put the very words into man's mouth. Yes, sir. There were times God wrote them with his very own finger. Matter of fact, in the book of Psalms, I believe it's Psalm 68, it says, my tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. Hmm. Now listen to this very carefully. That's my pen. My sermon outline was written with that pen. But that pen could just as easily be used to write a news article that's a lie. That pen could be used to write slander against someone. That pen could be used for good things. That pen can be used for bad things. It can write good words. It can write cuss words. Just not from my hand. The pen is not the issue. The one using the pen is the issue. God used men as a pen. None of the men were perfect men.
Right.
Not a one of them. They were dirty pens. They were sinful pens. They none of them had a perfect... Did you know that the men who gave us and penned down the most scripture, two of them were actually three of them were murderers. Right. Moses, David, and Paul. Yep. Now watch this. So the pen is not the issue. It's the author who is. And the author is God.
Amen.
See, Moses killed a man in Egypt. Paul killed Christians. David killed many people, not just in war, but he killed Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. Murdered him. After he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Now, I say that to say this. The people or the pens are not perfect, but the one who used the pen, the Word of God, was the author. That's why the Word of God is perfect.
Yes. Amen.
The pen doesn't have to be perfect. The author does. And the author is God. I hear this all the time. Well, those are just man's words. No, they're not. They're God's words. They never were man's words. They're God's words. And I trust what God has to say far more than what any human being has to say.
Yes.
Now, we... who better to be an authority about heaven than someone who's already been there? Someone who has been there, walked its streets, helped with the construction of it, is most qualified to tell us about heaven.
Yes, sir.
My Bible says in John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking and said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions.
Amen.
If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." In other words, I'm going where he is and preparing a place for you. "That where I am, there ye may be also." Guess where Jesus is? Guess where he came from?
Sorry.
Now watch this. You see, the most qualified person to tell us about heaven and prove that it's there is someone who has been there and told us about it. Not only did Jesus live there before coming to earth in Bethlehem's manger, he went back to heaven after they crucified him and came back and walked on earth for another 40 days. And he told us all about it. Who is the most expert on heaven? Jesus. And I'll take what he has to say over what anybody has to say about it. Heaven is not some ethereal thought in the clouds. Heaven is not a cloudy place. You're not going to sit on a cloud, sprinkling spoofle dust with a harp in your hand for the rest of eternity and look like Cupid. Thank God. I'm not wearing tights. Yes, sir. When a person dies, they don't become an angel.
Right.
Angels are created beings.
Yes,
you don't become an angel. You are a person that goes to heaven. You are a saint here. You can be a saint there. In the same school marching. Oh, anyway. But heaven is a real place. It is just as real as earth is.
Yes, sir.
I've heard people talk about, well, the heaven is a cube. And it's got different levels because it says it's four square. Can I tell you something? That it goes against all creation because God didn't create anything that was square. All the planets are round. Did you know that a round sphere is equal on all sides, just like a square is? I believe heaven is very much like a planet like Earth is. Don't worry, they'll not find it. They've been looking. But I really believe heaven is just as much of a planet as Earth is. We were created in God's image. I imagine he created Earth much in the image of what heaven was to be like. Now, that was my opinion. I wouldn't fight you over it. But I'll just tell you, consistency with creation would say that heaven would be round, not square. Now, it's still a real place.
Amen.
We are not there right now, but we know who is. Now, let me show you what I mean. I know that my house is a real place. Say, how do you know? Been there. got the keys for it. I'm not there right now, but it's still a real place. Most of you haven't seen my house, especially since I moved in. And we'll have you over, don't worry. But most of you, you've not seen my house. Randy and Leanne came over this week. They were helping Ellen with something, and or Marsha, I'm sorry, watching Ellen back there. They were helping Marsha with something, and we ran over and saw them for a while, and brought them over to see the house. My house is real, okay? But guess what? I'm not there right now. Does that mean it's not real? Huh. I've been there. Now, I could tell you the layout of the house, could tell you what's where. I know everything about it. Say why? Because it's my house. Now, I don't know as much as my wife does because she knows where more things are than I do. And that's all right. But just because you've not seen it, just because you've not been there, doesn't mean my house is not real. Can I tell you something? Heaven's real. Just because you haven't been there doesn't mean it's not real. Matter of fact, I know somebody who did live there, came to live here on earth for a while, and then went back there to live.
Yep.
Well, I'd want a human being's account before I believe this. His name was Jesus.
Right.
He was born in Bethlehem's manger. He became flesh for you and me. And he was just as much man as he was God. We have a man's account of having been there. And it's written in the Word of God.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus. You see, this is what Jesus did to prove there was heaven. Jesus tells us that heaven is a real place. He tells us it's being prepared for us. And Jesus tells us what he saw when he was there. He told us how to get there. And he told us who would be there when we got there. You see, heaven was his home. Just because you haven't been there doesn't mean he had been there.
Right.
He had the authority and the credibility to talk about heaven. Even more so than I do. The only credibility I have are the words he gave us. That's the credibility that we have. You see, Jesus told us that he was going to go back to heaven and get it ready for us. Who better for us to listen to about heaven than Jesus? You see, he's the only one to have lived there, come back and told us about it, and went back there to live. And then when we get there, we get to see him.
Right.
Now, let me give you about five things, real quickly. I can't spend much time on any of them. When a saved person dies, they go directly to heaven. Take your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There is no such place as purgatory. There is no such place as a holding place temporarily between death and after death. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse number 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. The moment you close your eyes in death here on earth, you are present with the Lord.
That's good.
It's instantaneous. And again, I have been with well over 100 people as they take their last breath, literally. I have watched a lot of people leave this world. I've watched some leave that were dying and going to hell, and it's one of the most cruel, brutal things you've ever seen in your life. It curls your toenails. I've heard people scream, "Oh my God, I'm on fire. Oh my God, I'm burning in hell. Oh my God." And I've heard them scream as they go out into eternity. And it just gives you the heebie-jeebies. And I've watched people die singing. I've watched people die praising the Lord. I watched Bessie Parr pass away. Bessie and her husband LJ had been married forever. I mean, I think they got married on the Ark. And she was passing, and LJ leaned over and he said, "Bessie, I just wished I could hear one more time you say I love you." And the nurses, we were out in the hall and they were moving her, and they rushed out and they said, "She's going, you better get back in here." And we ran back into the room, and LJ leaned over and talked to her very sweetly for a moment, and her mouth moved three times and she said, "I love you." Oh, my soul. I stood there going, the last words that lady ever said on this earth. By the way, I told the Lord that day, that's the way I want to go. I want to look at my wife's face and say, "I love you." And then I want to wake up and look at Jesus' face and say, "I love you." Oh, man. The Bible says the moment you die, you're present with the Lord. You're not going to go through a long tunnel. It won't be a long tunnel of light. You're just going to wake up. You're going to suck your last breath here and go, in heaven, you'll be there. It'll be just that quick. You see, there's not a person living what you think. It's a person who trusted Christ who gets there. When you try to live it the way you think you should get there, you won't get there. You got to get saved. Acts chapter 7. Look very quickly. Acts chapter 7. Boy, I got to hurry. Acts chapter 7, verse number 54. There was a deacon in the church at Jerusalem there. His name was Stephen. Stephen was a fiery kind of fella. He got up and preached in the church there one day, and out on the street corner, people got mad at him. They got so mad that they started throwing stones at him to kill him, and they stoned him to death. And in Acts chapter 7, verse number 54, the Bible says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." They started biting him. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.' They cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears and ran upon him in one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." That's the Apostle Paul. The Bible says that he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. Guess where God lives? Huh? Guess who is standing next to God in heaven? Jesus. And Stephen saw him as he was dying. I've talked with people, they'd say, "Can you see him?" "Oh, they see people on the other shore." I say, "No, I can't, but I believe you can." They get a little glimpse of it here and there. And it's sweet and it's precious. Now, let me say this. Stephen saw him in heaven as he was being killed. Now, listen to this very carefully. Quit judging people whether or not they believed enough to get saved. If they said they're saved, you have to trust that, and that's good enough.
That's right.
Well, they never lived it. There's a couple times in Moses' life you'd wonder if he was saved then. David, you would have wondered. Abraham, you would have wondered. Abraham twice was unwilling to admit that Sarah was his wife and almost gave her away to some other man because he was afraid he might get killed. Everybody doing all right? The Bible talks about just Lot, and he lived in Sodom. He was a saved man living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Committed incest with his two daughters. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says he was saved. Just Lot. All of the disciples ran at Calvary. Not one of those rascals stayed around. Matter of fact, Peter, James, and John went back to the fishing business. They quit the ministry. How'd you like to have that for your pastor? They turned the world upside down. About 6 weeks after they quit the ministry, Peter was preaching on the back end of an F-150 preaching Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved and baptized that same day. We ought to quit judging people whether they're saved or not. If somebody's willing to stop, listen to the gospel, and trust Christ as their Savior, they're saved. Quit judging it.
Amen.
It's that simple. Well, you just believe in easy believism. Well, God didn't say anything about hard believism.
Amen.
That's it. So, when a saved person dies, they go directly to heaven. Number two, Jesus told Nicodemus about it. Turn to John chapter 3. And I'm going to hurry very quickly here. You know the story. By the way, you Bible scholars, I'll give you something to look at, and this will help you. We see the gospel presented very clearly by Jesus, but nowhere in the scripture does it ever say Nicodemus ever did get saved. We don't know he didn't, but we don't know that he did. This is where Jesus said you must be born again. Look at John chapter 3. Look at verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, that's Nicodemus, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and we testify that we have seen, and ye received not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but that he came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Notice Jesus said here, if I tell you, if I testify of something, I had to have seen it. Guess what he saw? Heaven. He said, if I tell you of earthly things, you would believe me, but you don't want to believe me about heavenly things, even though I was there and I came down from there to here? That's exactly what Jesus and Nicodemus are discussing here in verses 10 through 13. That's why verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. If you want to get there, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But again, nowhere does it ever say that Nicodemus got saved. I don't know that he didn't. Guess we have to wait till heaven to find out. But I do know this, Jesus said, I came down from heaven to be here.
Amen.
That's Jesus himself. He said, I can testify because I have seen it. I have been there and I came down to earth to talk to you. Jesus himself tells us that he has been in heaven. Jesus talked about it. By his experience. Look at John chapter 3, verse 31, same chapter. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that receiveth his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. He said, look, I'll swear under oath that I have been there and I've seen it. I can testify of it because I have been there and nobody else has. Anybody that has been is still there.
Right.
I'm the only one that has come back from there to here. I know there's TV shows out there about people that have died and this is what they saw in heaven. And there are books out there by the bajillions to make all kinds of money about after-death experiences. You say, what is it? It's not biblical. The Bible tells us, medical professional tell you this, the Bible tells you this, the last thing to go is your hearing. You hear an awful lot of things before you actually die and leave this earth. The last thing to go is the hearing. Somebody can be dead, clinically dead, for up to an hour and still be revived and come back and be somewhat of a normal person. I believe that they have died, or what we call death, but they weren't totally gone yet, because that's why they're still alive. Because my Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Not that your heart stopped, not that you quit breathing. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Boy, that's important stuff right there. Number three, I got to hurry. Jesus is in heaven now. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Kind of feel like Brother Roloff tonight. Read a scripture and scream a while. Amen. Acts chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. Sorry. I don't know where that came from, but it was there. Acts chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, that's Jesus, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward where?
Heaven.
As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up into the gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, not one like him. The angel said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go to heaven. The disciples saw him leave here and go to heaven. Two angels appeared to them, by the way, male, not female. All angels are not women, just so you know. And does not say they had wings. Sorry, Hmong. But it does say that they stood there and said, why are you standing here looking into heaven? He told you what to do. That same Jesus is going to come again. That's the rapture that we talked about earlier today. And he said, look, you got a job to do. He'll be waiting for you in heaven, and he'll leave there and come get you someday. Till then, get busy doing what he said. And a few days later, they had Pentecost. So this is after the resurrection. This is after Jesus had been crucified and dead and resurrected. It's about 40 days after resurrection that he went back to heaven. Now, he is there now. He has not left there since. Can I tell you something? Our friends and loved ones who have died before us, who are in heaven, they are seeing Jesus. Brother Wiley, your mama's in heaven looking at Jesus right now. There's others in here who have lost family members. Good night, Harry and Kathy have lost half a dozen or more that in the last few years. And many of them were saved that we know of, and they're in heaven. And others in here, you've got loved ones who have passed away. Mrs. Barnes's grandfather passed away just, what, 4 or 5 months ago? Something like that. And I've lost people. My grandmother passed away about a year and a half ago, and I've preached so many funerals, it's not even funny. Can I tell you something? They're in the presence of Jesus just as much alive as they were down here. Matter of fact, they're better off than they were down here. Brother Stoltz is there. Amen? And I'm mad at him. When I get there, I'm going to punch him out. All right? Now, number next, I got to hurry. Jesus went back to heaven after the resurrection, but he came back to earth after he went to heaven. Do you remember when Jesus resurrected and Mary saw him along the road and she said, oh, Master, Rabboni. And he said, don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Why was that? Because Jesus was our high priest. Now hang on. I'm about to come unscrewed, Brother Don. The high priest once a year would take the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. Only he was allowed to take that. He had to wash at the golden laver, sacrifice the lamb, take the blood in a bowl with a hyssop weed, pass through the courtyard, pass all the way in to the tabernacle itself. He had the golden candlestick on the left. He had the table of showbread on the right. He had the altar incense before you and the great curtain. He had to go under that curtain into the Holy of Holies. There was one piece of furniture there. That is the Ark of the Covenant. On it was the mercy seat of God. In the Ark of the Covenant was a copy of the law. In that Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod that had budded, and there was a golden pot that had manna preserved from the wilderness. On top was the mercy seat. You had two seraphims, one on either side, with six wings each. Three back, three up, three forward, or two, two and two. I'm sorry, not three, three and three. That's nine. And that mercy seat was there, and the high priest once a year was allowed to go in, take that weed, that hyssop weed, dip it in the blood, sprinkle it on the mercy seat, and the Shekinah glory of God would come down and dwell on that mercy seat. It was God's presence. He would leave, he would come back out, he would address the people and say, "It is finished." But Jesus was our Lamb. They crucified him at Calvary. Do you remember the last words he said? "It is finished." They buried him. 3 days and three nights later, he got up out of the grave. On his way to heaven, he stopped off and said, "Hey, Mary, would you tell the fellers I'm coming back? I'm risen." And she was getting ready to touch him, and he said, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to the Father." Say, why is that? Because if the high priest, from the time he washed at the laver until he got to the mercy seat, if he brushed by and touched somebody as he went by, if he went into the Holy of Holies, God would kill him. He was not to be touched by sinful flesh from the moment he was washed for the blood. The moment you get washed in the blood, you're on your way to heaven.
Yes, sir.
Jesus could not be touched by sinful flesh because he had not yet taken his blood to the mercy seat in heaven, the true tabernacle. And he was on his way, but he stopped to let everybody know everything was fine. And he said, "Go get the disciples and tell them I'll meet with them after a while. I'm going up to the Father. You just go get everybody." Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 is the recording of that situation from when Jesus resurrected from the grave until he came back to earth for 40 days. Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse number 23. Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse number 23. The Bible says, "It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this to judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation." See, when God gave Moses the blueprints in the book of Exodus for the tabernacle, the Bible says that it was a copy of the one, the true tabernacle in heaven. Turn back, Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Look at verse number 1. "Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne, the majesty in heaven." Who is that high priest?
Jesus.
That's Jesus. "A minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man." In other words, I wouldn't fight you over it, but I believe the tabernacle in heaven is the throne room of God. I believe that is the throne of God. Verse 3, "For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of necessity that man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and a shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount." When Moses was on Mount Sinai, and God gave the direction for the building of the tabernacle, God pulled the veil of heaven back so Moses could see the tabernacle that was in heaven. Notice it says, "See, and the pattern showed thee in the mount. It wasn't just the blueprints, Brother Mike. He got to see the final product.
Amen.
Guess who's in that tabernacle today? At the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
When the devil comes to God and says, I see Mike Schenenberger sinning, and this is the sin that Mike Schenenberger's done. Jesus is standing next to God the Father and says, Father, see the blood on the mercy seat? See that blood right there? I paid for Mike's sins. And God looks at the devil and says, get out of here. Mike hasn't sinned. It's covered by the blood.
Amen.
He hasn't even sinned. Is all I see is the righteousness of Jesus Christ Amen. Added to Mike's Amen. Account. Mike doesn't have any sin. That's what Jesus did. He's in heaven doing that for us right now.
Amen.
You see, this is what Jesus did from the time that Mary saw him until he came back to meet with the disciples in John chapter 20, verses 11 through 19. I don't have time to take you there because I got one more thing I want to give you really fast. Number 5, and I'm done. Jesus is coming again for us at the rapture from heaven with him. But notice he's coming from heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn back there very quickly. I think I quoted this twice this morning. 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's not those of you in church tonight. This is those that are dead. That you sorrow not as those as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 14. We were in 13, verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That's dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from... Uh-oh. Guess where he's at then? He's there. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Can I tell you something? He said he will come from heaven. That means he's there now. He has been there since he went back in Acts chapter 1. Now, after he resurrected, he went to heaven and came back to earth the same day. Because he met with the disciples that night. Remember, he entered into the upper room and he didn't open the door? That would be enough to get you wound up in a hurry. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he ate fish and he ate bread with them. He was not a ghost. He actually ate food with them often during those 40 days. Can I tell you something? The book of Revelation is filled with the references of heaven. So, say, preacher, how do you know there's a heaven? Because Jesus talked about it.
Amen.
Jesus told us about it. Jesus has been there. Jesus helped create it. Jesus is working there now. And Jesus is living there now, has been there, came to earth, dwelt amongst us, lived amongst us, and went back there. I could take you through other scriptures, I won't. But I can tell you this, according to that book, and the authority of God himself, and the authority of a man, Jesus, who's been there, came and told us about it, and went back to be there, and is going to come back and get us, there is a place called heaven.
Amen. Right.
And where your saved loved ones are, they're there.
Yes, sir.
And if you're saved, you get to go there.
Amen.
We have the authority. Say, well, those are man's words. Nope, they were dirty pens. But the author was perfect.
Amen.
It's not man's words, those are God's words.
Sorry,
we have the authority of the word of God that there is a place called heaven. Thank God for a place called heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, do we miss people that are gone? Yes. Do I sorrow even when people pass? Yes. But I'm not going to live in depression. If they were saved, they're more alive now than they've ever been. There's a real place called heaven. If you need to use the altar tonight, you may come.